Let us open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be reading chapter 5 and part of chapter 6. This is part of the very practical part of the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters are full of doctrine, truth, and then the application is in the last three chapters of this book. Ephesians, beginning then at verse 1 of chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is that acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there a respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So far the reading of God's word this morning. Based on this and other passages, we look at the fifth commandment in Lord's Day 39. Question 104, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and in all authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction with correction and due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. May the Lord bless the preaching of his word and the catechism. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we come to the second table of the law. This love is also love for God, isn't it? Only the redeemed are able to walk in this law. And they do so to show their thankfulness for their deliverance from sin and its power. The second table of the law, interestingly, begins with a home, doesn't it? It begins with a home because that is the foundation of all society. Those are our nearest neighbors, and how we deal with each other in the family, as a husband with a wife, and the wife with her husband, as parents with the children, and children with their parents. No one else has eyes inside the home, what takes place there, but God does. And that is where this kind of authority must reign, in order to teach us also then how we, in other spheres of life, carry out. There is a principle involved in this command based upon the bedrock of God's authority, God's supreme rule over all things. For the Lord God, he is God. His authority is over all creation. And we need to see and to respect that authority in our homes, at school, in the office, in the workplace, in society, in the government, and in the church. What kind of human parent wouldn't set boundaries for their children for what is good and behavior in the home? And the same thing goes with our Father in heaven. He expects us to obey those in authority. That command applies not only for boys and girls, but for all ages, doesn't it? Teenagers, young adults, middle age, aged, all of us. We need to hear this commandment because all of us are by nature rebellious and disobedient. Children, you must obey your parents in the Lord. Wives, you must submit to your husbands. Those in employment must submit to their employers. We must all of us submit to the governing authorities of the land. In the church, we submit to those whom God has made rulers over us. And we do all that as unto the Lord. That is, in obedience to God, that is how we are going to show our thankfulness that we are no longer under the burden of sin, the law of sin, but we have been set free from it. Obedience, respect, honor. I've had, as a pastor, parents come to me complaining. My children have no respect for me. They won't obey. They yell back at us when we tell them to do something, or they call me names. As it turns out, those children had very poor role models in the home. The wife would not submit to her husband, challenging him, calling him names, yelling at him. And the father also, very critical of those who are over him, whether in the marketplace or in the church or the government. What did these parents expect with those kind of role models? Did they expect that their children would be little angels? You and I have a good example of obedience. And that example is our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Jesus Christ in our flesh was obedient unto his Father in heaven, obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Because by nature we are sinful and disobedient and rebellious, all of us need this instruction on obeying those in authority. Obedience to those in authority, notice then first of all the basis of this fifth commandment. Notice second of all the requirement of this fifth commandment. And then thirdly, the promise of this fifth commandment. The basis for this fifth commandment. It is based upon that fundamental truth, God's absolute authority. That is basic and that is essential truth of the gospel. God is God. All scripture testifies to God's sovereign authority. That authority is exercised in harmony with God's perfect perfections, isn't it? His love, his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness, his justice. Our God is not some kind of a cruel dictator or tyrant who just likes to push his will upon people. But he is our loving Father who knows what is best for us. He knows what is best for society. He knows what is best for every sphere that we live in. God rules over all things, make no mistake about it. God rules all things through his Christ. Christ Jesus, who because of his obedience to his Father was crowned with authority. That is, God delegated authority to his Christ. All things were placed under his feet. We must recognize that as the principle of all earthly authority. God rules. He who denies God and his authority ends in anarchy or in evil rule. All those in authority are responsible to God. They must know how they are to behave. A father in the home is to love his wife and his children and not abuse them. Parents are to love their children and give themselves for their children. And children are also to be in submission. That is their responsibility before God. What terrible evil consequences happen when we refuse to recognize that God-given authority. Without God in the equation, then there's really nothing to hold husbands and wives together, is there? There's no authority. And so we have the women's liberation movement in our country. There's no responsibility or there's no reason to respect authority of the government if one does not recognize that all things are by God's authority and those rulers are placed by us in God's providence over us. Why should we obey them if we don't acknowledge God and his authority? Especially when we have governments that do evil things. The sin of abortion, the gambling that takes place, involved in taking bribes, injustice, cover-ups. Why should children listen to parents? Let them be their own boss if there is no absolute authority. And so we have broken homes. We have single parents. We have wild children. We have union strikes. If God is not authoritative, ruling over all, why not everyone do what is right in their own eyes, doing their own thing? We confess God rules. And God has delegated authority, and therefore we obey that authority in every sphere. This fifth commandment is God's demand based on his authority. Children are to honor their parents because God set those parents over them. They might not be the best parents. They might have many, many faults. And if they do what is sinful, that is abusing their wives or abusing their children, then those kind of parents need to be taken out of the home. But there still is that honor and respect of those who have given life. Wives submitting to their husbands, for God gave those husbands authority to rule over their wives. But may those fathers, those husbands, as we read in Ephesians, do so in love, giving themselves for their wives as Christ gave himself for the church. Not being tyrants. Not guilty of physical abuse or emotional abuse or sexual abuse. Employees must obey their employers and must do the best of their ability as unto the Lord, not as men pleasers. As citizens, we have to be obedient to the government and honor those who God has put in those places, even if they don't demand our respect. I can't say that I like my president or other rulers. But God put them there, and we honor them in those positions rather than making all kinds of crude jokes. And let us go on also to church. Because there is a crisis of authority. When there have been sins that have taken place in the church and the elders did not work properly in the past, it has come to the point that now there are those in the church that have no use for pastors or elders or even deacons. What is our attitude toward those in authority? It is an attitude that differs from the world. The world says, I'll honor and obey you if it's pleasant to me, if it's agreeable to me, if you like me, if you do what I want. We do so as unto the Lord. We do not lightly regard those fears of authority, for we know that it is of God. And this commandment reminds us of that great truth, doesn't it? It expands from just the home, whereas in the commandment we read, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But it expands it, doesn't it, to every area of authority. Husbands, parents, employees, the church leaders and authority of them, government. May they not be despots, those who rule in authority, but may they be like our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for and does what is best for us. Those who rule in authority must do so for God's glory, and those who are under the authority also obey as unto Christ. So the basis, beloved, is God's authority. Begins in the home, extends to the school, exists in society, exists in the state, and obviously also exists in the Church of Jesus Christ. Those who rule in those places do so through Christ. And Christ exercises his authority that's been given to his Father by those in those different spheres. So what? What is the requirement here then of this fifth commandment? First of all, it is obedience, isn't it? Obedience demanded of those under that authority. That's clear from Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. Obedience is commanded of us because it's contrary to our sinful natures. God requires, God demands it. Not only when father and mother do things that we like, but also when they make demands upon us that we don't like. Same thing in the employment place. Your employer might not be a godly man, might not be a Christian at all, but God has placed him there in authority over you. Boys and girls, your teachers in the school, they are there under your parents' authority, helping your parents and educating you, therefore you must obey. We must do that with our government officials. We must do that with our church officials. Yes, that obedience needs to be commanded of us because of our sinful nature. Obedience is demanded in every one of those areas within the home. Wives, submit to your husbands. That puts a bad taste on a lot of the women's liberation movement. Why should we submit to a man? God in his word puts it so beautifully. Wives, submit unto your husbands, even as your husband submits as under the authority of Christ, even as Christ submits and is under the authority of his Father in heaven. Obedience, submission. Why expand on this in this commandment? Because the Catechism does. It includes every area of our life. Because Scripture does it. In Ephesians, in Colossians, in Romans, obey. Obey with only one exception. If a parent, if a teacher, if an employer, if a government official would tell you to do something that is contrary to God's law, if the employer would teach you as an employee to cheat or to steal or to work on Sunday, if the government would say, nope, you mayn't worship anymore, If the parent or the teacher wants you to do something that is wrong, wants to touch you in wrong places, then we obey God's word. Boys and girls, do you remember what John and Peter said to the religious authorities when they said, "No more preaching and teaching in Jesus' name"? John and Peter said, "You decide, you judge whether it's better to obey God or man." No, in those kind of cases, if they command us to do something that is sinful or evil or dirty, then we say, no. No, I must obey God rather than man. That's important for us to say here because we are affected with our wicked culture, aren't we? I'm thinking of a man in one of my churches addicted to pornography, who would then demand of his wife to do unnatural things with him. Yes, he is her authority, and she must say, no. No, I cannot do that. Notice it is always when we say no that it is still respecting, whether it's the government that's telling us to do something, whether it's the religious leaders that are telling us to something, God has put them in those places, but we say, no. No, I cannot do that. My God does not allow that of me. Think a moment, boys and girls, of Joseph. Away from home, a young man there, trying to please his master, and he did a wonderful job in Potiphar's house. And then Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. And he has to say, no, I cannot do that. I cannot displease my God. He paid the consequences, didn't he? Thrown into jail, in prison, because of his obedience. But God rewarded him, didn't he? With that obedience, there is then honor, isn't it? The command puts it in that form, honor thy father and thy mother. And that then also implies respect, high esteem to those that God has put in positions over us, whether it be in school, whether it be in the employment place, whether it be in government, whether it be in church. Respect them for the office that God has put them in. Pray for them. As the catechism says even, very beautifully, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. I had a son once that was disobedient in school, did something wrong. And the teacher said to him, "I want you to write a paper for me on obedience." My son did that. I must honor. I must obey. I must even pray for. And yes, I must also be patient also at times, bearing with your weaknesses or infirmities. Of course, the teacher didn't like it very well. But that's God's word. That is the script, that is our confession of what God's word says about our attitude toward those in authority. Obey when it's possible. Disobey if they command you to do something wrong. Pray for them that are in those positions of authority, that they will recognize that they will give an account also to God of their rule, and you also will give a response to God, answer to God, for whether you were submissive in these different areas. honor, obedience, which becomes evident in our actions, doesn't it? Boys and girls, what do you do when the parent or the teacher tells you to do something that you don't like? Do you roll your eyes like maybe they're kind of crazy? Do you slam the door in anger? Do you mutter names or thoughts against father or mother? Honor and obey. Recognizing their weaknesses and infirmities, the Catechism says, bear patiently. That honor, that obedience is pleasing to God. And that's really the real motive of all of our obedience, isn't it? God, our God, who has put them in authority over us so that in our homes, in our marriages, in our schools, in our government, in the church, there's order, there's decency. Not everyone left up to themselves, like during the periods of judges, doing what's right in their own eyes. How can we do that? Notice this commandment is preached to the church, isn't it? That means God's saints, who have been redeemed from their sin, who have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, with their ears they hear what God has to say about these various spheres of life and our situation in them. And we love our God. We want to obey Him. He gives us His word, and that word is preached so that we're pricked in our hearts and we go home and we say, yes, I see in my life where I at times have rebelled, where I have disobeyed, and that's wrong. Boys and girls, teenagers, young adults, say that to your parents. I respect you. God gave you to me. You care for me. You gave life to me. You raise me. You teach me. You guide me. Thank you. And parents, say that to your children. We love you. God has given you to us, and we care for you. Husbands and wives, say that to each other. A husband shouldn't have to force a wife to submit to him, but she will do so willingly if he is that loving husband who gives himself for his wife, who is understanding of his wife, who cares for his wife. Who wouldn't want to be the wife of that kind of a husband? And if we have failed as husbands and wives, may we not only confess that to our Father in heaven, but confess it to one another. Husbands, you first of all in the home, being ready to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, dear, for how I dealt with you, or what I said to you, or how I pushed you. Can we do those hard things? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes because of not only Christ's redemption for us on the cross, but also Christ's redemption worked in us or applied to us by the Holy Spirit. He makes us willing and He makes us able to fight our own pride, to fight against that sinful rebellion that is within our sinful natures, and to obey. God gives grace to the humble, doesn't He? And that's what we all are in our various societies, places. Servants. Husbands in the home are servants of Christ Jesus, aren't they? How in the world can a husband then be a tyrant? Or how can a father do horrible things with his wife or his children or his grandchildren? God's word by the Holy Spirit says, that's no. You don't do that. You don't think that. You don't say that. We honor, we submit, we obey for Christ's sake. We do it as unto Christ. That is over and over in those passages, isn't it? In those different spheres. And this is the first and the only promise, the commandment that comes with a promise, doesn't it? The promise of a long life. Now, when that commandment came to God's people there on Mount Sinai, they were traveling there as pilgrims to the land of milk and honey. And God says, in the way now of obedience, you will enjoy a long life there in that land of Canaan, the land of rest. But in the way of disobedience, they would be cut off. And we know that that took place when there was that disobedience of kings, not recognizing God himself, or parents in the home, or the various roles of society, when they served other gods, when they were disobedient, God took them out of the land of promise and sold them there into Babylon to chastise them. So this commandment with a promise looks first of all there at the land of Canaan, where God's people would dwell in rest and peace, a covenant community. But that's only a type, isn't it? And the type always fails in order that we look away from the type to the antitype. And so in this commandment, when we hear about the promise of long life, and we know that sometimes our children die, don't they? Or sometimes our spouse dies at an early age. What does this commandment mean? And it's looking there at the antitype. No matter how long our life here on earth is, in the way of obedience, we will experience God's blessing that we have eternal life. Eternal life now already, something that will never end, for God's love never ends. That life that goes, that eternal life that we now already have as his children, goes into the new heavens and the new earth, where we will dwell with Christ forever and ever. We have that promise of long life with God in heaven. Not through our own obedience, as if we've earned something, but we have that promise of long life in the new heavens and the new earth in Christ Jesus, who was the obedient servant of God. And so we look forward to that fulfillment of that promise. Christ's obedience as an example, God's word as a rule for us, a long life, an unending life, eternal life. Not for our merits, not for what we've done, but in Christ Jesus. And that promise is now attached to this command to assist us in being obedient. A promise is attached as a reward. Isn't that the way it is often in our homes also? Would I have to pay my children to do chores around the house? The answer is no. No, we feed them, we clothe them, we give them a Christian education, they have a home to live in. There's responsibilities, there's obligations there. But sometimes we give them a reward, don't we, to encourage them in the work. And that's exactly what our Father in heaven does too in this promise. We don't earn anything. God has redeemed us to be an obedient people. Obedient to Him, and we show that obedience to Him in our obedience to those in authority over us here on earth. We don't earn anything, but He holds before us a wonderful reward. A long life of blessed communion with Him in the new heavens and the new earth. What an incentive. Isn't God merciful and good to us? He forgives our sins. As an older man looking back, I can think of many different ways that I was disobedient, I was rebellious, whether it be to parents, whether it be to teachers, whether it be to those in governing authorities, in the church even. There's forgiveness for our sins, and there is grace given to us to live as we're called to. And that is what confessing sin is all about, isn't it? It's not just saying, I did things wrong in the past, but I want to change. I don't want to do that any longer. I want to live as God commands me to. I want to live as a young person, as a boy or a girl, in obedience to my parents and to our Christian school teachers. I want to live as a Christian husband or as a Christian wife, as God commands me to do, because I will give an account of what I've done to Him. I want to obey my government. I want to honor those who are put in those positions because God has put them there. I want my elders, I want my pastor to rebuke me if I'm walking in sin or if I'm neglecting the means of grace. I want them to come and correct me. And as each one of us who are older have made confession of faith, we said, didn't we? We said that we would honor those in authority over us and obey them in the Lord. God's blessing rests upon His thankful, obedient children. Amen. Father in heaven, that sinful nature in us likes to throw up all kinds of objections. Objections to why we don't have to obey the parent or honor them. Objections to how I rule as a husband or a wife in the home. Objections to our government. Objections to the pastor or the elders in the church. Thou knowest our sinful, rebellious old man. Give us thy grace. Work within us by thy word and spirit. Use this sermon this morning so that we go forth from this place of worship in our homes, in the classroom, on the playground, in the place of employment, as citizens of this nation, as members of this church, honoring and obeying those in authority, for thou art our authority, thou art our ruler, and thou art our redeemer. We love thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.